Title of our message this morning is Rejoice in the Lord. If you need a river update, would you raise your hand and the ushers will give you one. There is a message outline in it. Thank you, Lord. It's good to see everyone this morning. Praise God. Amen. It's good to be here today. There's no place I'd rather be than with you. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we break His word together. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Father, that this morning You're speaking to us about rejoicing. And so, Lord, we open up our hearts to receive a deeper understanding and revelation of what it means to rejoice today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're rejoicing today. Once again, yesterday's gone, and there's no promise of tomorrow. So this is the day that the Lord has given us. Right here, right now, we have a great day to look forward to. Amen? Amen. Whatever's on your agenda today, just put that to the side. Don't worry about where you're eating lunch. Although we like to think about those things, we all make plans. Hallelujah. But this morning, we're going to talk about rejoicing. And to rejoice is to experience joy and gladness in a high degree. And we're going to take a look at the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk was a man of great faith, and he had the right perspective on things. He knew what was most important. And Habakkuk describes a time when everything around him was desolate. I know some of you have walked through a difficult time and it looks like there isn't any life coming forth from all of your efforts. But let's take a look at what Habakkuk said. Chapter 3, beginning with verse 17. He said, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit beyond the vines, and though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet, tell your neighbor, yet, yes. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on high hills. You know, it's easy to have a pep rally when everything is going right. Amen? It's easy to get excited and rejoice when everything's going great. When your team is winning. When it feels like life is on your side and everything's going good. It's easy to have a pep rally then. But Habakkuk said, there is nothing to be harvested. There's no blooms on the fig tree, no olives to be gathered. The flocks have been destroyed. Yet he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So you see, we choose whether or not we're going to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. It's your choice. Tell your neighbor, it's your choice. This passage has been a solace and a song for many believers. Because if all of God's gifts fail, we still possess the giver. We rejoice in the Lord. Because our circumstances do not change the Lord. I was thinking this morning, our circumstances usually change us. Is that right? We're the ones that get changed in the midst of all of the suffering. God is still the same, yesterday, today, and forever. But He uses experiences in life to change us, to make us more like Him. Amen. Habakkuk made a conscious decision in the midst of trials and trouble. He said, I will. I will. It's a decision of your will, whether or not you rejoice in the Lord. We're not happy about the things that are going on. We're not happy about the circumstances. We're not rejoicing in about the trouble. We're rejoicing in the Lord because we serve a God that can see us through. Amen? He is so mighty. He said, I will joy in my salvation. Salvation is deliverance. It's freedom. It's safety. We rejoice because our sins have been forgiven. And our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen? Nothing else seemed to be going right in life. But Habakkuk could still triumph in the Lord. The Lord is often more apparent when we are going through the struggles in life. Have you ever noticed that? We become more aware of God's presence. Unfortunately, a lot of times when things are going well, we just go about our business and we don't take the time that we need to take with God. So whatever is going on in your life this morning, you can choose to rejoice in the Lord. We don't rejoice because of what we're enduring. We rejoice in spite of what we're enduring. Amen? Rejoicing is a part of our teaching from a very young age. And most of you know we grew up Pentecost and we did a lot of rejoicing. And people who grew up in denominations and they were quiet in church might have a difficult time understanding exactly why we get so excited and why we might whoop and holler a little bit. But I read this story and I thought you would enjoy it, so just wanted to set the stage a little bit. There was a little old lady who was rejoicing about her salvation. And on Sunday mornings, she would shout occasionally. But things changed when a new, more dignified preacher came to the church. And he let the little old lady know that he didn't care for her shouting. But the next service, she let out a few amens and a couple of praise the Lords. So after the service, the preacher met with his deacons, and he told them if it happened in the next service that he wanted two of them to escort the lady out of church. At first, the deacons protested, but then finally, they agreed with his wishes. So, at the next service, the little lady got really happy again, and she began to rejoice, and she began to holler, praise the Lord. And the preacher motioned to the deacons, and they got the little lady, one on each side of her. And they picked her up, and they proceeded to carry her out of the sanctuary. And when she got near the back of the church, she let out a real loud hallelujah. And the preacher, he couldn't resist yelling back. And he said, what are you shouting hallelujah about? And the little old lady replied, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he didn't have but one donkey carrying him, and I've got two of them. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord God. You know the Lord enjoys our rejoicing. He loves our relationship. He's the one that's commanded us to rejoice. He reminds us over and over again in the scripture to rejoice in Him. To enjoy our salvation. So how often are we to rejoice? Philippians 4:4, read it with me please. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. So once again, to rejoice means to be cheerful. It means to be happy, to well off, calm. It's Sometimes we're not real calm, but calm in the midst of everything that's going on. We rejoice in Him. There's this security that we have that comes from our Heavenly Father. Amen? Have you experienced that security and that love? When you experience His salvation and His presence in your life, there's a settling that comes over us, even in the midst of difficult times. Even when we're facing difficult times, we can trust in Him. Always is, what's that mean? All the time. Always. There's no exceptions there? No. Tell your neighbor there's no exceptions there. First Thessalonians says, rejoice always. There it is again. Pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Often people will come to me and say, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. Well, let's read 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. God's will is that we rejoice always, that we pray without ceasing, and in everything we give thanks. That's His will. When you do those things, more revelation comes to you. God will set you up. He sets you up, doesn't He? He sets you up for opportunities to share the gospel. He sets up opportunities for you to have promotion. He will mend relationships. Amen? Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks. Philippians 4:11 through 13. I don't think that's in your PowerPoint or in your outline, but if you would add that. Because in Philippians, we find out a secret. It says, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. So we can learn to be content. Tell your neighbor, you can learn it. You know, our natural flesh is we always want more and more. We want something different. We want something new. We're not satisfied with how things are going. Often we'll look for ways to improve things that don't even need to be improved. Have you ever done that? Yeah. So we have to learn how to be content, whatever our circumstances are. And Paul said, I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. You see, when Paul was in prison, back in that day, you didn't get 3 well-balanced meals and snacks in jail. If your friends did not bring you food, you did not eat. Can you imagine? So if the church would not have brought him food, if friends would not have fed him, he would have starved. So he says, I know what it is to be in need. He needed some help from his friends. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether we are well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. You know, we like to quote that verse, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Well, but we need to take a look at the verse before that. Because Paul is talking about being hungry. He's talking about living in want. He's talking about the situation God has taken him through to teach him. And he learned the secret of being able to be content, knowing that God is still on the throne. And God will supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. Sometimes we might have to go hungry. Sometimes we might have to suffer through some pain or through a surgery. But God is with us. And we learn how to be content in Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's Him who gives us the strength to get through. I can do all things through Christ. So you see, it's through Christ that we make it through these situations. Hallelujah. How much effort should we put into rejoicing is the next question. Psalm 68:3 says, but let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Exceedingly. That same word is used in Deuteronomy 6:5, but it's translated might. And this is where the Lord said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Exceedingly would be putting all our strength, every part of us, into rejoicing in the Lord. Jesus repeated that in the New Testament, in Mark 12. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And he identified that as the most important commandment. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. And I read this from a minister named Pastor Carter, and this is what it says. If you find yourself about to complain, think of your many blessings and rejoice. Don't give the devil a ride today, because then he'll want to drive full time. So kick his attitude of complaining spirit out of your blessed zone. And don't give the devil nothing. Can somebody say amen? Let all those who seek the Lord rejoice. You know, we started off the first of the year, January 1, with the verse Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Let all those who seek the Lord rejoice. To seek is searching out, striving out specifically in worship and in prayer. So we should rejoice in our opportunities to pray and to worship, and we should rejoice in the Lord in our prayer and in our worship. Let's read Psalm 40, verse 16 through 17 together. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. The word rejoice was often used in greeting as people were coming and going. So wouldn't it be great when we see each other to just say, rejoice. Rejoice, Lydia. Hallelujah. I think I will. Rejoice, coming and going. The Lord be magnified. We've gotten away from these things. You see, when I was growing up, we always said, if the Lord wills, I'll do this or that. That's what it says in the book of James. It even says, if the Lord wills, I will live. It's important to acknowledge the Lord. It's important to acknowledge the Lord. That's a part of our rejoicing in Him. Rejoicing in our salvation. Now, you know, you have to be careful who you say those things to. You just met somebody and you say, magnify the Lord. You know, you can say that to me. And I'll magnify him right back. Hallelujah. But when you're just meeting someone, you know, you got to kind of ease into those things. Hallelujah. The first thing you share with them is the gospel, right? And once they get saved, then, you know, they catch on to why you're so crazy about Jesus, right? Rejoice because our sins have been forgiven. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 10:20, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And if you read that whole passage, they were so excited because they could cast out devils in his name. But the Lord says, I want you to rejoice in this, that your name is written in heaven. We rejoice because our sins have been forgiven. That the Creator himself, Martin Luther said this, that the Creator himself comes to us and becomes our ransom. This is the reason for our rejoicing. Psalm 35:9, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Now you see, to me, when I read that, it sounds to me like I'm telling my soul what it's going to do, right? Did you know you have to boss your soul around? Did you know that? Otherwise, it'll take charge and just do whatever it wants to do. So it says, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. So if you're not feeling very joyful, you need to talk to your soul and tell it. Remember, rejoicing is a choice. We decide whether or not we're going to rejoice. We decide how much we're going to rejoice. It's all up to us. The Lord's told us to rejoice always and to pray without ceasing and to give thanks. But it's up to us whether or not we're going to do that. But you know, when you do that, your attitude is so much better. People actually like to be around you then. You know, you change when you're in the presence of the Lord. That complaining spirit has got to go in Jesus' name. My soul shall be joyful in the Lord, and it shall rejoice in his salvation. We rejoice this morning in all of the great things that God has done for us. And I wanted to take a few minutes before we transition. We have a little bit of time here. For those of you, if you have a testimony of what God has done for you. Remember, we had healing services. Did God heal your body? Did he do something for you that you would like to share with the rest of the church to magnify the Lord? This is how we magnify the Lord together. This is how we exalt his name.